Truth.
Welcome to Trusting the Truth with Samuel Tolley, where we view the world through the lens of Jesus Christ. We do not view Jesus Christ through the lens of the world. How you doing, Sam Tolley? Trusting the Truth. And today I want to talk about Democrats Don't Care. I thought, you know, God Bless America was an appropriate song to begin this session of Trusting the Truth, because there are a lot of us that really love America. Democrats would have you think all black folks are victims, and that America has been evil to us, and that we should hate America. The furthest thing from the truth. With all her warts and scars on her knees, and she has a lot of positive attributes. And in any case, just like any family, this is home, the United States of America. We didn't come from another country. We were born and raised right here just like everyone else. Oh, yes, our ancestors came from other lands, and the ancestors of other people came from other lands. But this melting pot, it's called the United States of America, is just as much of our home as anyone else. And those that try to divide us based on race or gender or whatever, those are the enemy of America. They're not our friends. And as soon as these politicians learn to quit trying to divide us and instead try to unite us for the same goal and the same purpose, we'll have less problems. You would think after this election on 2024 of Donald J. Trump, when they called him Hitler, they called him just about everything but the Antichrist. They might have called him that too, that he was going to destroy our democracy. Although this country is a republic and has always been one. Nevertheless, they talked about he was an existential threat, that the country would implode. It would be dead and gone if he obtained victory in the election. Well, many of us believe that he obtained victory. Oops, excuse me, let me get this stuff out the way here. I got things that need to go. Okay, let me hide that. All right. Many of us thought that he obtained victory in 2020, but that's behind us now. And those that were against him would have had 4 years to work up some kind of ideology or some kind of ability to attract the citizenry for 2024 election cycle. But we all know what happened in 2020. 81 million votes did him in. And at any rate, he persevered. He came back. He fought all the way. This is the man they tried to destroy his reputation. They tried to bankrupt him. They tried to put him in jail. And even some people tried to kill him. All through it all, he stood strong. And he came out and said, fight, 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 even after bullets, you know, pierced his ear and killed a person in the crowd. Never once did he stop. He continued to fight for America. We, the citizens of the United States that voted for him, are continuing to fight for America. But the Democrat Party, for some reason, either don't care, they don't get it, or they don't want to get it. I mean, they don't care what we think in lines of God. They don't care how we feel about our family, our society, or business. I mean, the news media was run by a bunch of people that kept trying to tell us that the economy was good. But those people, just like the politicians they cater to, they obviously don't run to the same stores that we run to, or either the fact of it is they have so much money that it's irrelevant to them. So they would blow smoke up our behinds telling us that the economy is good when many of us had to decide whether we're going to pay for this product or whether our kids get to play Little League this year, whether our daughters can get the special dress they want, or they're going to have to deal with some hand-me-downs for a while longer. And then you get the people that talks about black folks, that the men are misogynists, that that Latino men are a misogynist. They've written off white men a long time ago. I've seen women cutting their hair off, talking about we're not going to have sex until 2028, until we can get in a new administration. And when I look at those women and women that think like that, the thought comes to me is, that's a good idea. Because you won't be having no abortions and you won't be polluting the gene pool. I mean, it's ridiculous. Even after what happened in 2020, and we felt rightly so, and we still feel that the election was stolen from us. We didn't go crazy. I had a person to ask me continuously during this election cycle, are you going to riot when Donald Trump gets beat? And it offended me because to me, this individual should have known me better. Why would I do something like that? That's not in my character. That's not in my nature. Yes, I want to win, but I'm not going to do something stupid like, say, the folks did at the Summer of Love after the George Floyd catastrophe when they burnt down cities. No, my ideology is to persevere, to use every means possible to help society correct this course, to move forward. But yet we have, like I said, the Democrat Party is either stuck on stupid or whatever. We have people that want to continue to support things that are antithetical to just common sense and decency. Well, I understand there's a new congressperson, for lack of a better term. Apparently, this is the first transgender congressperson. And there's an uproar because women do not want this man going into the women's congressional restroom that they go into. I can't blame them. I mean, this ideology that you are whatever gender you perceive yourself to be is nothing less than satanic. I mean, when Target made the rule several years ago, I think it was, well, I'm pretty sure it was prior to 2020. As soon as that thing came out that a person can go into the restroom that they believe that their gender was, i.e. a man that thinks he's a woman can start going to a woman's restroom, I haven't set foot in a Target department store since. And I would think that if enough people took that action, Target would stop that nonsense. The idea that we have to subject ourselves and our women, folks, to men with mental illness is ridiculous. I would think that men, I would think that there are still men in the Democrat Party that are not beta males. I would hope that cared about their daughters, would not want their daughters to have to shower with boys, especially teenage boys, because teenage boys, the testosterone is moving hard and fast, and their brains haven't kept up with their biological urges. I need not explain to you the potentialities there. And I just can't understand why men are not taking their rightful, responsible roles and saying, no, that's not going to happen. You know, my former home, well, my home state, I no longer live there, California, you know, they have so many crazy laws and things going on there. It's beyond comprehension. They already had a law in place that if a minor wanted to have a transition, that is, have puberty blockers and sexual apparatus changed through surgical procedures, and if one parent's objected to it, they could still go to California. Even if the parent who had objected has a court order, custody from a sister state, California would not honor it. California said it's a sanctuary state for transgenderism. California is a sanctuary state for all kinds of craziness. And now that this election is over, we have people that's talking about being sanctuary cities for these illegals, even though the American people have overwhelmingly said, no, we want our citizens taken care of. You know, our news media was so corrupt and so crazy that the idea that you can get the citizenry of a nation to think it's a bad thing to say America first. That's like saying, okay, Sam, it's a bad thing for you to say the Tali household first. Oh, how can you say that? You got to take care of the household down the street before you take care of your own. Nobody thinks that's reasonable or rational. Anybody with good sense doesn't. I saw a film clip the other day. It was funny. About this liberal, this Harris supporter, this supporter that believes that we should allow illegals to just come into our nation. Yeah, you know, irrespective of the law. And so, and they were, you know, signed a petition. Oh, yeah, we're all for it. Well, the person that presented that to the liberal had a busload of illegals and said, hey, how many of these folks you want to let stay in your house? Well, at that point, they said no. They didn't want nothing to do with that. They wasn't going to allow people that they didn't know in their house. I mean, in their house? Are you crazy? Well, that same ideology should apply to your nation. I mean, ICE put out a couple of months ago this document that said there was like 13,000 convicted murderers that were allowed in the United States, 15,000 sexual deviants, and almost 500,000 convicted criminals. All of these people that were allowed in the country were already convicted of crimes. These are not people that snuck across the border. These are people that were actually, for less than a better term, certified in by the Biden administration. So obviously they didn't believe in America first. Countries that have let their murderers, their rapists, their criminals come to our house. Remember, I mean, our country. Remember when President Trump said during his first term that these countries are not sending us their best? And people go, oh, he's xenophobic. You know, that's why I say our news media is full of what I call prostitutes. They're just media whores. Their job actually is to function as the fourth unelected part of our government. They are supposed to serve as the watchdogs for the American people so they can be the unbiased referees of what's going on in government. They are the ones that are supposed to make sure the federal government is doing what it's supposed to do, that the Congress is doing what it's supposed to do, and that the judicial system is doing what it's supposed to do. But they're not that anymore. they are owned by, I guess, several oligarchs or whoever, I don't know. But whomever controls them controls the lies they dispense throughout the nation. And their job now seems to be to feed us the nonsense that we're supposed to eat and accept, just like the transgender nonsense. Never have I seen a news article. They always talk about, well, these are less than 1% of the population. Why are you being, you know, created such an uproar over this? If you had a barrel of apples and you found a rotten one in there, you're going to get it out because it's going to contaminate the rest. They talk about this is less than 1%. Okay. So let me rephrase it. Let me change it this way. Why would you allow less than 1% of the population disrupt the rest of it? Why would you make special provisions for someone that mutilated their body, although they came out of the womb just like everyone else? They decided to mutilate their body and pretend that they are what they're not, and then subject everyone else to it. And now everybody else has to conform to that less than 1%. Why on earth should the majority of people have to live under the delusion of someone who doesn't know what the heck they are when everybody else knows what they are? But the media does not present that side of the story. They never do. They present the side of the 1%. Oh, I mean, it's ridiculous. Just like now that Trump is talking about having mass deportation of illegals. The media sits over there talk about, and they echo people like from AOC and all these other folks. And there's folks on both sides that want illegals here. You got the Democrats who, by and large, want to make these illegals voters dependent on them because they've lost a lot of constituents. They've lost a whole lot of Black people this time. Far more than they thought they would lose, even after Obama came out and talked to the brothers and Magic Johnson came out there and talked to the brothers. And all the other gatekeepers like Roland Martin, who I understand got at least $250,000, maybe $500,000, and Al Sharpton, all these folks that interviewed Kamala. And by the way, it's interesting if you think about it. Here Kamala get interviewed by Al Sharpton, by Roland Martin, by Oprah Winfrey, and I understand that Harpo, her production company got like $2.5 million. What type of interview do you think you're going to get from someone that you paid to interview you? I mean, this Call Her Daddy podcast, that interview was done, I believe, in Washington, D.C., and I think this person's headquarters or whatever is in L.A. So the Biden, or not the Biden, but the Harris election team, or whatever you want to call them, campaign, supposedly built out a hotel room over the cost of $100,000 to make it fit for this podcast. So they flew this person out here. They fixed up this place to decorate it so it looked like a podcast. I don't know if that person got paid. I wouldn't doubt why not, everybody else is, to interview her. So can you, do you think for one second you're going to get an objective interview from somebody that you put money in their pocket? I don't think so. Not at all. So these people, like I said, the news media, they will not give us the information that we need. And the Democrat Party relies heavily on the news media. Unfortunately for both of them, many of them are losing voters or viewers. I hear that MSNBC has lost, maybe over 50% of their people that watch that poison they spew out, and CNN's lost about another 30% or whatever. Because they kept telling people that Trump is a monster. They kept telling people that he is Hitler. Although Hitler killed 6,000 Jews, he killed 6 million Jews. He killed thousands of Germans first. You know, the handicapped, the mentally retarded, you know, trying to purify the Aryan race. He killed all these people. He did all this stuff. And who has Trump killed? In Americans. But they want to compare him to that. They want to talk about how he's going to destroy the economy when we had the best economy in my lifetime during the 4 years he was in office prior to the COVID situation. And then they said that when Biden came into office, the adults were back in charge. Remember when they said that? The adults were back in charge and things were going to be great. And things got progressively worse. But the news media kept trying to make us think that it was something that it wasn't. Because they don't care and the Democrats don't care. And the Democrats rely on the news media to keep telling us what we're supposed to believe that's right. That's why you got people like during the campaign, Obama going to talk to the brothers to get the black men back in line. We got to get you guys back in line. Or like most people say, get them back into the plantation because they done wandered off. Well, I mean, I've lived long enough to see over 60 years of black people following the Democrat Party. And we were at the bottom of the socioeconomic ladder when we started following, and we're still at the bottom of the socioeconomic ladder, following the Democrat Party, following the Al Sharptons and the Roland Martins and all these folks that, you know, D.L. Hughleys and all the so-called celebrities that are wonderful. Just like when I heard that she supposedly paid Beyonce like $10 million to come and talk for a few minutes. And Megan Stallion got $3 to $5 million to shake her behind. And that's supposed to inspire us. And then they had these concerts all at the right before the election day to get those real Harris supporters out there to convince us that this is who we need to have president. And lo and behold, we come to find out that they spent over $1 billion in that campaign and in like 100 and something days. And last I understood, the campaign is like $20 million in the hole. I also heard that the DNC might have spent $1 billion too. I haven't heard a lot about that. But at any rate, the woman who the media and the Democrat Party, and by the way, I heard that right now, she's number one going into 2028. You know, they're already projecting. I heard that the Democrat Party is like I said, she's number one going into 2028. But the Democrat Party and this woman, they spent all this money. And this is the person that we were supposed to elect to lead us, that was going to fix the economy. Remember, she said she was going to fix the economy? She couldn't even fix her own budget in her campaign. To the point where Trump embarrassingly offered to pay. If, you know, hey, we got the money. We got extra money. I think they spent less than $500,000. You know, I had friends that wouldn't even talk to me. Still won't talk to me because I supported Trump. Because I didn't think that Kamala or the Democrat Party had my best interests. And I still don't. They never did. But you can just look at the campaigns they run and see who was more fiscally responsible. Now, I have to admit that Donald Trump is a showman, and he's a master marketer. I mean, that McDonald's thing, that trash truck, that's off the chain. You know, and Kamala, the best she did was come out there and say no tax on tips after Trump did. She can't think on her feet. And that's what surprised me, why the Democrats right now saying that she's number one going into 2028. For their sake, they better come up with something better than that, because this woman is woefully inadequate. But the Democrat Party, like I said, by and large, they're still running around acting like we don't know what's best. Like I said a little while ago, like AOC and these people are talking about making sanctuary cities for illegals, even after all this. And then they want to go around and they love to pull heartstrings talking about, well, you're going to separate families. These people always love to touch emotions, but they don't like to, they don't deal with history. Back in the 1950s, Eisenhower deported over 1 million illegals out of here. You can go look at World War II and look at what happened. Think about, you know, Germany occupied France for about 3 or 4 years. And when the French left, I mean, when the Germans left, there was a bunch of French women that had families with those Germans. They broke up those families. Matter of fact, those women got their hair cut like a bunch of these women now that are, thankfully won't be polluting the gene pool and not having sex for 4 years. Maybe they should just go forever. You're going to always break up people when folks break the law. And if we, you know, Democrats love to talk about how we're a nation of laws until it comes to the point where we want to enforce the laws that they don't care about or they don't want enforced. Oh, no one's above the law when they're trying to lock Trump up forever. But when you start dealing with folks like these illegals that are here, you're going to break up families. Well, anytime somebody breaks the law and the police arrest them and they go to jail or prison, we're breaking up families. Well, actually, we're not the ones breaking up families. They are the ones breaking up families because they broke the law. So these so-called families that are going to get broken up because people are going to get deported out of here, they're going to get deported out of here because they broke the law. Now, let me tell you another thing about the Democrats that's really wild. The Democrats acknowledge a truth. And the truth is right now that the United States, like some other industrial countries, have a low birth rate. The birth rate necessary to keep a country populated at its present level is 2.1. Right now, the birth rate in the United States is something like 1.6. And that's factors in that is obvious because we stop having babies and we start killing a lot of babies too. When I was looking back at the statistics, if I just go back to 1950, the birth rate for blacks were 4.0. That means four babies in a family. And for whites, it was 3.2. They didn't have Hispanics listed in the United States at that time. But you get down to 1960, whites is 3.6 and blacks is 4.1. Pretty steady. 1970, whites are down to 2.5 and blacks are at 3.5. Now, 1973, remember, is when we got the Roe v. Wade. And we're going to talk about that in a minute, a little bit more. So what happened in 1980? Whites went down to 1.8 and blacks went down to 2.0. We both were below the reproduction rate. However, that's the first year that they listed Hispanics, and they was at 2.5. And that was about, what, 7 years after Roe v. Wade? Then you get to 1990. Whites were at 2.0. They kicked up a little bit. And blacks at 2.2. They kicked up a little bit. And Hispanics stayed at 2.5. get to 2,000. Whites are at 2.1, the exact reproduction level. Blacks are at 2.0, which is less. And Hispanics, 2.8. They done kicked up even more. 2010, whites are down to 1.9. Blacks, 1.9. Hispanics, 2.3. They're still above the average. And last, 2020, whites, 1.6. Blacks, 1.8. And Hispanics, 1.9. So we got Democrats. And I'm going to show you a couple of clips where they say that we need illegals here because our population rate is too low. But here's the irony. These same people talk about killing babies when the solution is obvious. Encourage the American people to have babies. You know, China, they had that one-child policy for a long time. And now they found out that, oh, shoot, we need more babies. We don't have enough women. We're falling into a bad situation. So now they're telling people, they were forcing women to have abortions. And now they're saying, please have more babies. I'm going to show you a clip of a couple of Democrat politicians. These Democrats, it's amazing. Chuck Schumer and Jerry Nadler. Let's watch both of them and see the irony in their statements.
On Sunday, what should have been the celebration of the 50th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, America mourned instead. America mourned. We mourned the fact that millions of women and girls now have fewer rights than their mothers and grandmothers. We mourned the loss of individual freedom. Now more than...
Wait, let me stop him for a second here. Did you hear what he said? He's talking right after the Roe v. Wade was overturned. And he's talking about we mourn the loss of girls and women with their rights. I want to play that over again. We mourn. He don't care about the 60 or something million babies that were ripped out of wombs. This is like when the Democrats love to say reproductive rights, and what they're really talking about is killing, murdering babies. This man is so twisted that he's mourning the fact that they're not sacrificing babies to Moloch like they used to. You got to do it on a state level instead of a federal level. This is insanity. This is evil. Listen to him again and then watch him switch on to talking about we need illegals because we need more babies.
And girls now have fewer rights than their mothers and grandmothers. We mourned the loss of individual freedom. Now more than ever, we're short of workers. We have a population that is not reproducing it on its own with the same level that it used to. The only way we're going to have a great future in America is if we welcome and embrace immigrants, the dreamers, and all of them, because our ultimate goal is to help the dreamers but get a path to citizenship for all 11 million or however many undocumented there are here.
Part of what he said is exactly what he wants. He wants to get them all path to citizenship because he wants them to be Democrat voters. That's what this whole thing is about when Joe opened the border. When all these folks let all these millions of folks in here, they want to convert. They're going to say, you can't just break up families. And then it's wrong to have all these people here without any rights. We need to make them whole. And we make them whole by making them citizens. But in the meantime, let's put them up in hotels. Let's spend all the money that the American citizens give us to give them EBT cards and cash and cars and businesses and this, that, and the other. Put them on the gigantic breast milk of the federal government. Get them addicted to that thing. and then let's make them citizens, and then we'll put them in place of them folks that we've been having under bondage forever, like the black population is hopefully finally waking up. So this guy sits over here and talk about we need to, we don't have enough citizens, but at the same time, we mourn the fact that we ain't killing enough babies. Jerry Nadler is no different. Watch him.
So prepared to close. Okay. Then the gentleman from New York is recognized.
Madam Speaker, if House Republicans were serious about condemning violence surrounding the debate on abortion, the resolution would be clear in condemning all acts of violence, lest we give tacit acquiescence to extremist anti-abortion violence against abortion providers. This resolution does not do that at all. Undoubtedly, my Republican colleagues will attempt to portray any opposition to this partisan resolution as proof of Democrats' so-called extreme position on abortion. But the American public is not so easily fooled. They will recognize this resolution for what it is, a transparent political exercise intended to lay the groundwork for MAGA Republicans' plans for a total nationwide ban on abortion. I urge all members to vote no, and I yield back the balance of my time.
And we need immigrants in this country. Forget the fact that the farm, that our vegetables would rot in the ground if they weren't being picked by many immigrants, many illegal immigrants. The fact is that the birth rate in this country is way below replacement level, which means our population is going to start shrinking. And the ratio of people on Social Security and Medicare is going to increase relative to the number of people supporting
Sunday.
Hold on.
Could have been.
This is amazing to me. And one side of his mouth, he says, he's afraid that American, that the Republicans are going to ban abortion throughout the land. And on the other side, we need immigrants because we don't have enough people. And then he goes around and denigrates both immigrants and us by saying that if we don't have them, our vegetables are going to rot in the ground. Well, the Bible says if a man won't work, he don't eat. And you can't tell me that if we didn't have illegals here, we weren't going to be able to get our fruit and our vegetables picked. I don't buy that for 1 second. Not for 1 second. Capitalism in and of itself will see that. The law of supply and demand will make sure that we are able to get our fruits and vegetables picked. We don't need illegals to do that. And then the absurdity of the whole thing is this man, both of them are supposed, one is a member of the Senate and one is a member of the House, legislators, the people who write the laws that we, the citizens, are supposed to live by, are advocating illegality. I mean, this is one reason why it's so bad that we have a country where people no longer understand or teach civics to the citizens. You know, any other place, any place with any common sense, it would be a joke to have lawmakers advocating illegality in order for us to be able to live. It's stupid. They should even be in Congress. Sometimes it's hard to just think straight. But then we got these governors. We got governors that want to have sanctuary cities. Governors, mayors, these people are local representatives. And this is why it's very important. Do not just pay attention to national politics. We must pay attention to state and local politics. Really, they're even more important. Because these jokers are allowing a lot of the mess to happen. Look at this.
Governor Hobbs issuing her first veto of 2024 today. She rejected the Arizona Border Invasion Act. Senate Bill 1231 would have allowed local law enforcement to arrest migrants who enter the U.S. illegally.
This bill does not secure our border. On the contrary, it will be harmful for communities and businesses in our state and a burden for law enforcement personnel. I know there's frustration by the federal government's failure to secure our border, but this bill is not the solution. It's for these reasons I will veto Senate Bill 1231.
This woman, who in my opinion is governor due to a questionable election, I mean, after all, she was in charge of the very election that got her elected. She ran the election, what, a Secretary of State? And it took us over a week to get the count. So there's a real big problem with that. But she won't cooperate. This bill is not going to do anything. She didn't offer. What are you going to do, Governor Hobbs? Do you really care about the citizens? You know, she said someplace else about the fact that she's not going to cooperate with the federal government. Cooperate with the federal government trying to get illegal folks out of the state you're supposed to govern, which would free up money and resources for the citizens that you are supposed to be the servant of. But she's not alone.
Now, the governor says Illinois will remain a sanctuary state and would sue the federal government if Trump tried to retaliate by withholding federal public safety funds. He also says he believes agencies that decide on funding for things like infrastructure will continue to operate independently no matter who the president is, and that the federal spigot will not run dry. Governor,
Illinois. I predict in the next 4 years, Illinois will be red. The black folks in Chicago have had it up to here with the nonsense. You know, Illinois, New York, you know, I should have had a map. There's a map, and I wish I would have put it up, that shows the fact that the majority of the country is red, even in the blue states that Democrats won, that Harris won. It's just these bastions along the coast and certain sections where there's a large section of the populace is the only reason why those states didn't go to Trump. This is crazy. Illinois is one of the most expensive states to live in. The property taxes is through the roof. You know, Chicago is running at a deficit. And yet this governor is talking about protecting illegals. Why? For what? What about the citizens of your state, Governor? But we got to go to my former home state of California.
Wasting no time reacting to a second Trump presidency. Today, he called a special session of the legislature, saying the goal is to outline a plan to defend California's policies from a Trump agenda. State Attorney General Rob Bonta, also in San Francisco today, answering those calls. Christy Smith has more from San Francisco.
During Donald Trump's first term in office, California was often seen as the heart of the so-called resistance, frequently battling the president's policies. And today it appears the state is set to become the face of that resistance again. Governor Gavin Newsom says he wants to make sure California values are, in his words, Trump-proof. So he's called for a special session of the legislature to create a strategy. Meantime, State Attorney General Rob Bonta was in San Francisco today, outlining his plans to address concerns about the president-elect's policies.
As the reality of a second Trump administration takes hold, I know there is a lot of fear and anxiety, frustration.
Bonta talked about how his office is prepared for potential challenges.
As Attorney General, I will continue to use the full force of the law, the full authority of my office, to address injustice, to stand up for all people, especially those who have been long overlooked and undervalued, to safeguard reproductive rights, to advocate for more housing.
Newsom says the goal of the special legislative session is to boost legal resources to protect reproductive and civil rights, climate policy, and immigrant families here in the Golden State.
Which will coincide.
I got to stop it right here. The state attorney general, he's talking about, just like the state lawmaker or law enforcer in that case, is just like those federal people we talked about, ignoring the laws that they want to ignore and protecting the people that they want to protect, the non-citizens of the California. California is run by one, just the Democrat Party, period. They have a majority that can just run the state through the ground. The only way California is going to change is if the people of California change. And this guy right here, Scott Wiener, he is one of the worst. This guy has authored bills that you wouldn't believe. He authored a bill that made a known person with HIV infecting somebody else go from a misdemeanor, I mean, from a felony to a misdemeanor. This guy offered a bill that public drunkenness and stuff like that is legal. You know, I don't even remember. I did videos on some of the stuff this guy has put through. I mean, this guy is worse, one of the worst of the worst. I mean, he is a pure reprobate. I wouldn't be surprised if one year this guy tried to run for governor of California. And God help us if he wins. It amazes me. I thought Newsom was bad. And Newsom is bad. But Newsom's not as bad as this guy. And I don't know who that joker is that's the attorney general over there.
Our regular session, which starts on December 2nd when we're sworn in, so that we can fully protect California and our values, given that Donald Trump will be president again and he will control the Senate and possibly the House as well.
State Senator Scott Wiener's office says the funds will help defend the state's policy priorities.
Scott Wiener. It doesn't get much worse than Scott Wiener. California, I just don't know what to say about you. You know, the people of California need to wake up. I know there's a lot of good people in California. This mindset of just trusting these folks. I mean, they're talking about it. They put through a stupid law that you can't even buy a dadgum gas lawnmower anymore in California. And they're talking about in 2035, you can't buy a gas car. And the power grid's already jacked up. Prices are through the roof. Folks are leaving the state because of Democrats. I think that they're legalizing prostitution for minors in California. The whole thing is just sick. It's time for everybody in California to clean out that Sacramento. Flush that thing down the toilet. Renew it. But you know, I want to end on a video about this guy. Like many of my friends was told that Donald Trump was a reprobate, that Donald Trump is the enemy, that Donald Trump was wrong for America. He took the time to find out that they were wrong. You need to take the time to find out, because the Democrats is what's destroying this country. Let's check this out.
I made a video the other day asking people when was the moment that they came to the conclusion Donald Trump is racist. A lot of people said the Central Park 5. We'll talk about that in another video. For me personally, it was the Very Fine People on Both Sides thing.
But you also had people that were very fine people on both sides.
I remember seeing that clip and feeling like, wow, maybe he is racist. And I just happened to come across this video on YouTube. It basically said that the clip was edited and that I should go back and watch the entire clip. So I watched the entire thing. it got to that point where he says very fine people on both sides. And I'm like, see, that's exactly, I knew he said that. There's no point in me even continuing to watch this. And then it goes on and it gets to the part where he's like,
and I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists, because they should be condemned totally.
So he said he wasn't talking about the neo-Nazis and white supremacists. Why would they show me part of the story and make me feel like this? Even in the presidential debate against Joe Biden, he brought up the very fine people thing.
He said, I think they're fine people on both sides. What American president would ever say, Nazis coming out of fields, carrying torches, singing the same anti-Semitic bile, carrying swastikas, were fine people?
Kamala Harris just brought it up on the recent debate.
Let's remember Charlottesville, where there was a mob of people carrying tiki torches, spewing anti-Semitic hate. And what did the president then at the time say? There were fine people on each side.
People are still saying it, even though it's been debunked. Snopes just added this shit in 2024 that was a lie. It supposedly said in 2017, he dropped out of a presidential race because white supremacists joined his same party.
I'm not going to be running. The party is, as you know, self-destructing.
When you say the party is self-destructing, what do you see as the biggest problem with the Reform Party right now?
Well, you've got David Duke just joined. A bigot, a racist, a problem. I mean, this is not exactly the people you want in your party.
Then you find that clip of him with Jesse Jackson.
Beyond that, in terms of reaching out and being inclusive, he's done that too. And created for many people a comfort zone when I ran for the presidency in 84 and 88. And many others thought it was either laughable or something to avoid. He came to our business meeting here in New York because he has this sense of the curious and a will to risk to make things better. And so aside from all of his style and his pizzazz, he's a serious person who's an effective builder of building the builder of people. Last year, he was a part of our workshop, of our panel workshop on what are the challenges and opportunities. And so this, a year later, Donald Trump, for a few minutes, challenges and opportunities to embrace the underserved communities. Donald Trump.
Well, it is an honor to be here.
You see the clip with him on The View, and him and Whoopi Goldberg, she's saying that they're friends.
Well, I don't think I'm going to get Whoopi's vote.
If you did, let me just ask, if you did be...
And she likes me. She even put me in a movie.
I was just going to say.
She put me in a movie,
yes,
right? A long time ago.
So
how much did I charge? Nothing.
Like they say in the
Godfather. It was a free
movie. If you did beat Obama, though.
People love this guy. Like Oprah saying that he should run for president.
You have a vice presidential candidate in mind?
Well, I really haven't gotten quite there yet. I love Oprah. Oprah would always be my first choice.
Oprah.
Oprah, your competitor, right?
Oprah's a competitor.
You know what? I'll tell you, she's really a great woman, though. She is a terrific woman. She's somebody that's very special.
Judge Joe Brown said,
I've talked to a number of black entrepreneurs who, back in the late 80s and 90s, or early 90s, were trying to get financing. They couldn't. Somebody told them to go check with Donald Trump. So they come back and tell me they got a loan from Donald Trump. He gave them a term loan. Show up with the interest and the principal, one check. But they had to go see him personally. They independently relate this tale that when they saw him, he said, this is what you're supposed to pay me? This is our agreement? Said, yeah. And then tore the check up, shook their hands, and congratulations. Now run your business.
And this was when?
This was back in the 90s.
Waka Flocka talks about how he showed him how to increase his wealth.
Get a C-Corp to run an LLC. You want to make it even deeper, go get a trust fund to run a corp that runs the LLC. You want to get even deeper, own two trust funds for your business and your person to run that trust that runs all the business. It can get deep, my guy.
Absolutely.
And Donald Trump actually showed me that method.
People will say that they want truth, but when you try to present them with information that goes against their beliefs of Donald Trump, they act like this.
He's condemned white supremacy over 20 times.
Oh, yes, man. Could you tell me when?
Yeah, absolutely. Would you like to see a video of a montage of 20 times that he's done it?
Oh, actually, no. I'm more interested in walking up in there.
But how are we going to learn if we don't challenge our ideas? I mean, you just made a statement that is actually inaccurate, and I can show you video evidence of why it is. I mean, would you like to see that?
No, thank you.
He's condemned white supremacy and the KKK over 20 times.
Over 20 times?
Yeah.
Do you have him right here? Can I listen to it?
Absolutely, you can. Let me pull it up for you right now.
All
right. By the way, I'm James. How's your day going, man?
I'd be a lot better if you guys were wearing masks.
We can socially distance.
Yeah, I gotta go.
Wait. You don't want to see the examples? I have 20 examples right here.
He is a white supremacist.
It's just like Yuri said.
Exposure to true information does not matter anymore. A person who was demoralized is unable to assess true information. The facts tell nothing to him. Even if I shower him with information, with authentic proof, with documents, with pictures, When a military boot crashes his balls, then he will understand, but not before that. That's the tragic of the situation of demoralization.
The populace versus the establishment. Whatever they do to the populist candidate, they're doing to you. When you assist the establishment in crushing the populist candidate, they're going to turn around and do it to you next. Whatever rules that they broke to get at him that you cheered on because you were so anti him, those rules were broken so that they can get your consent. And now that they've used your hatred to build consent to break the rules, now they can turn that same attack towards you. And you've yayed and amended it into existence. If you previously believed that Trump was racist and then something changed your mind, I'd like to know what was that moment. Thank you for watching again. Like I said, I appreciate your time and attention because you can't get it back. Leave whatever opinions that you want in the comments, and I'll see you on the next one. Peace.
There you have it, folks. Like I said, the Democrats don't care. Trump cares. Many of you care, and I care. It's up to us to make sure America continues to be what it should be. It's up to us to keep this train moving in the right direction. It's up to us to watch everybody, and especially this lousy media, and pray that God will change it and make them the referees they're supposed to be. And if the Democratic Party wants to survive, it needs to change. Step up its game. We are the ones that need to be catered to, not the political class. The politicians are supposed to work for us. We don't work for the politicians. This is Sam Talley, and I'm out.